In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Greetings to those who are with us at home. It's always wonderful to have you join us. Well, here we are. For what? Here we are to
worship.
I hope so. We need time to set our eyes on things above. We need time to be strengthened and refreshed and renewed in God's presence. We need time to say deep in our hearts, you are altogether lovely. You are altogether worthy and wonderful to me. As we prepare ourselves now to make great benefit of this time, to put earth aside and set our mind on things above, we make ourselves ready by asking God's help to see ourselves truly, to acknowledge our faults, not that we might be pressed down, but God might lift us up and set us free. Let us call upon his mercy. Jesus, you are the living Word of God. For the times that we have not listened to your Word, Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you are the living bread. For the times that we have not properly discerned your presence here, Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. For the times that we have strayed from this way, Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest.
And peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer. You alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us pray. God of the universe, we worship you as Lord, God ever close to us. We rejoice to call you Father. From this world's uncertainty, we look to your covenant. Keep us one in your peace, secure in your love. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
A reading from the book of the prophet Zechariah. Thus says the Lord, I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and petition, and they shall look on him whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and they shall grieve over him as one grieves over a firstborn. On that day, the mourning in Jerusalem shall be as great as the mourning of Hadimaron in the plain of Megiddo. On that day, there shall be open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem a fountain to purify from sin and uncleanness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
soul is thirsting for you, O Lord, thirsting for you, my God. My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord, thirsting for you, my God. Thirsting for you, my God. My soul is thirsting for you.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brothers and sisters, through faith, you are all children of God in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free person. There is not male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendant, heirs according to the promise. The word of the Lord.
Be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Once, when Jesus was praying in solitude and the disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist." Others, "Elijah." Still others, "One of the ancient prophets has arisen." But then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said in reply, "The Christ of God." He rebuked them and directed them not to tell this to anyone. He said, "The Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Then he said to all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I've often thought that a great book that I've never run across, but I'd like to read, would be some of the great questions of the New Testament, of the Gospels. Sometimes Jesus asks them, "Well, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want Jesus to do for you?" Sometimes they are asked of Jesus, "Hey, what's the most important thing of everything that you've said?" The greatest commandment is to love God with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength. How do I be saved? What's the way to eternal life? People asked Jesus these questions, and Jesus gave them direct answers. He wasn't trying to make it hard. He wasn't playing guess again. Well, one of those great questions Jesus asks in the gospel today. Not the first question, although that's a good one. He's with his disciples and he's saying, "Hey, what's going on out there? Who do they think I am?" That sure is an interesting question today, because a lot of people have a lot of different opinions on who Jesus is. Now, it's interesting that it's universally the case that I think people believe he's a good guy. I mean, it's kind of hard to bash somebody who tells you to love one another. But he said way more than that. C.S. Lewis, in one of his more famous pieces of writing, C.S. Lewis of Chronicles of Narnia fame and Screwtape Letters and many other wonderful books, he says, when you have opinions of Jesus, they can fall into three categories. You can call him a liar. Look at all the stuff that he says. Now, he says you actually have to take the words of Jesus as they're given. They're among the most historically, by secular standards, confirmed of anything in ancient literature. One possibility is that he's a liar. I mean, he's just trying to fool you with, you know, I forgive your sins and rise up and walk, and I am the bread of life, and before Abraham was, I am. Another possibility is not that he's a liar, but that he's a lunatic. He's just crazy. It's a popular delusion, thinking you're divine. Now, I spent a summer in a mental ward as part of my seminary training. I met Jesus several times. It's not unusual. Okay, he's a Lord. He's a liar. He's a lunatic. Or C.S. Lewis says he's the Lord. He's who he says he is. He's the one before whom every knee shall bow. He's the Word of God made flesh. He's the second person of the Trinity, the pre-existent Son of God, the one before whom all heaven and earth adores. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Now what C.S. Lewis says is one of the options you don't have is to say he's a nice moral teacher. Oh, he had some good thoughts. Listen to him pick and choose. Because he said too much to leave that as an option. He accepted worship and forgave sins and claimed to exist before Abraham. No, the great question that Jesus asks here is to his disciples when he says, who do you say that I am? That's the great question. It may be the most important question for you to ever answer. Right up there with obeying what's the great commandment and how do I gain eternal life? They're all connected. Who do you say that I am? Lord, liar, lunatic. I don't think many folks are going for lunatic or liar here. But remember, when Jesus says it's not those who say, Lord, Lord, who shall enter the kingdom of God. Remember that? It's not those who just say it. It's not those who say, Lord, Lord, that will enter the kingdom of God. But what? Those who obey the will of my Father. So Jesus goes on in the gospel to give substance, to give meaning, definition to what it means to live out what Peter confessed. Peter said, you're the Messiah. You're the one we've been waiting for. You've been sent from God to save us. But he says, if anyone wishes to come after me, if anyone wishes to live this out, he must deny himself and take up his cross. And Luke, among all the synoptics, is the one to add to picking up your cross the word daily. You must pick up your cross daily and follow me. Lose your life. Now, this is what it means to not only say, Lord, you are the Lord, but to live it out. So what does it mean? There's many, many answers we can give, but I'm going to just mention three things that I think are involved in doing what Jesus says here, picking up your cross daily and following Jesus. First, it means embracing the circumstances of our life, not fighting them, not resisting them, not being angry about them or guilty about them. We are where we are, and God always takes us from where we are to where He needs us to be. And oftentimes we just don't like the circumstances we're in. We think we got to get out of them before we can get on with things. When it's precisely in and through the precise circumstances we're in that God's going to work. He's not going to deliver us out of them or around them, but through them. Now, according to these words of Jesus, I would say to you that Jesus really and truly picked up his cross, not on Good Friday, but on Holy Thursday. Jesus picked up his cross in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane when he says, Father, if you can take this cup from me, go ahead. What's plan B? Because plan A right now is looking really, really heavy. So much so that he was sweating blood. But this is where it's picking up your cross. This is denying yourself. This is emptying yourself when he says, not my will, but yours be done. Now, we've got circumstances that we hate. We've got sicknesses. We've got addictions. We've got financial difficulties. We've got problem relationships. We got fears. And sometimes we're just a mess. And we can say, sometimes we're a mess in a way only God knows. Some of us we're not what we appear. And we could say, God, help me. I need your help. Get me out of here. But not my will, but yours be done. We need to trust in the midst of these circumstances and believe in the midst of them, not only when we get out. Because it's in them now that we're going to really find the power of the cross. So it means not fighting, resisting, bitter against, denying our circumstances, but embracing them and finding God in them. Secondly, it means never giving up in the fight against sin in our lives. Oh my goodness, we're just so good at rationalizing, making excuses, saying it's not that bad, looking at those around us, looking at national averages. Come on. Sometimes we just grow complacent. Don't. It's not what disciples do. It's not what picking up our cross means. It's not what calling Jesus Lord means, which we do here all the time. No. Never give up. Hold out. Persevere for holiness, for that vision of God, for being a saint to which you're called. I don't care where you are now or what you've done. Don't give up. Calling Jesus Lord. Embracing the cross. You can know holiness. Jesus can set you free. That's a promise of God. And one part of that has to mean going to confession. So many of us are struggling with real sin. But we don't take advantage of the most powerful tool, the most powerful healing God's given us. It's like going to the doctor and say, well, you've got terminal cancer and you need to take chemo. And you say, well, I don't want chemo. I mean, is there a vitamin I can take? No. Take the best medicine. Thirdly, picking up our cross daily inevitably means taking time to pray daily. To look at the day, to see our temptations, to empty ourselves, to call on God's help, to take time like we are right now in the midst of all the busyness and all of the confusion and all of the pressures and all of the tension and all of the exhaustion to, oh boy, lift up our eyes. Remember who we are. Remember who God is. Sometimes people ask me how you're doing. And if I was honest with them, I'd say, you don't really want to know. But what I found works for me and is true, and I said, if Jesus is still on the throne, then I'm doing really good. If Jesus is still God, if he's still my Savior, if I can still trust him, if he still has power, then I couldn't be doing better. We get that when we pray. Not occasionally, not when it's easy, not just when we have time, but like we sleep, like we eat, because without it we will die. Who do you say Jesus is? Everything's riding on this. And not only with your words, but with your life. Are you incarnating these words of Jesus? Unless you pick up your cross daily and follow me, you're not my disciple.